I feel kind of sad about it, but like today is the final part in our food joy party on a roll with God. I feel like we've really been on a roll over the last four sessions, right? And as we get into today, I thought, well, let's just keep it rolling with their dad jokes. Like, I can't resist it. They just make my heart happy. I'm sorry. I know. And what can I say? I'll quit. So as we run into the fifth session, the final one today, what we're going to kind of bring to a head here is that, you know, the whole idea for us has been, can anybody remember, what's kind of the overall theme that we want to blank God for our daily bread? Want to trust God for our daily bread. I thought help out just in case, right? That's all good. That we want to trust God for our daily bread. We're going to be teaching the kids this week to trust God for their daily bread. And of course, the greatest trust that they can have is to trust in Jesus. So they're going to hear the gospel, of course, throughout the entire week, because we want to point them to Jesus. We believe that He is the hope of the world. He is the subject of any life that will bring God glory and know His peace. So we're certainly going to point them to Jesus. And maybe you can remember, as we have gone through this week, we heard from week one the story of Moses in the wilderness, and God was feeding the Israelites. Can you remember, as they had gone out into the wilderness, He fed them a couple things, something in the morning and something at night. Can you remember? Manna and quail. Very good. So He fed them, and can you remember how long that He fed them that? 40 years. Woo! How exciting, right? Can you imagine? You're 21 into this. Hey, what's for breakfast? Guess what, kids? Manna. Mom, what's for supper tonight? I give you one. How many ways can you fix quail before that gets old? I don't know. And then week two, we got into the story of Elijah and the widow, right? And how, okay, and how the oil did not run out, and they would continue to provide for her family and for Elijah as well at her house. And so we were reminded of, you know, the fullness of God's provisions and the good timeliness of the things that He gives us. And then in week three, Kyle stepped in and he talked about the story of Daniel, right? And so how Daniel really thrived under that good, healthy diet that he had, that and God's hand was certainly in that. And so God had provided what was good for Daniel. And then Keller stepped in and had the story of what? Do you remember in John chapter 6? Multiplying the loaves and the fish, right? Absolutely. And he reminded of the abundance of God's provisions, that they don't run out, right? It's I own the cattle on 1,000 hills, you know, as the song says. And so, hey, He's got it all. And then this week, again, I thought we would just really be on a roll one more time with John 21, which is the story the kids are going to hear in an abbreviated version, actually Thursday night. So in case you don't know, weeks 1 through 4 that we did, the kids are going to be taught that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday during the day. And then Thursday evening, we're going to do an abbreviated run of VBS with the select stations. And they're going to hear this fifth story. So that way they're going to get all of it over VBS, right? Just keep it simple like that. And so with that being said, I'm going to jump in and I'm going to set some of the stage for that today and keep it super simple. But I want to start with a picture from my vacation. So if we could throw that up on the screen, this kind of hit me. You're like, what is that? So the picture doesn't really do justice to what it looks like in person. But this is in Gulfport, Mississippi. This is one of the aquariums that they have there on their premises. And this is like, this is like the second story looking down. That's why it looks like it's getting narrower. So it's a cylinder and there's a bunch of fish in there. And there's at the bottom is a coral rock formation. And there's a few fish that swim around the bottom. And you'll notice there's just a ton of fish kind of at the top. Well, what I couldn't grab was the image of what the fish were doing as they're swimming around. And we sat there and we watched it. And as we did, I noticed that the fish were swimming in unison all around together, and then there would be like one fish that would decide it's time to go down to the bottom. That's about 2 to 3 stories tall. And then that whole group of fish that are swimming around in unison would all just sort of kind of go down. They just, like you imagine, like a vortex, they just kind of go down. And then they would swim at the bottom for like 30 seconds or so. And then one fish would decide, it's time to go back up top. And so they would go, and then the fish would follow. And then it was neat. They go up top, and they'd swim there for a while, and then one, so you get the pattern. And they just kept doing this again and again and again. And it was crazy how just one would make a move, and the others would just trust, and then they would just go. And they weren't feeding on anything. They weren't eating any other fish. There wasn't anybody at the top dropping little pellets or anything in. Like, there was nothing, but they were just following each other. It was just the most amazing thing. And you're probably going, what does that have to do with anything other than you liked it? I get you. I understand. And there is a point, but you're going to have to wait until I get to it. So my gospel story today is John 21, and it's the story the kids are going to hear some of Thursday evening. And so if you have a Bible and you want to look at this story, I'm going to tell both parts of it, but I want to sort of just tell the story as much as read it today. But you feel free to follow along, and if online you've got your Bible, feel free to do so. John chapter 21 there, it's the final chapter in John's gospel, and it's the story of Jesus having already been raised from the dead. And according to John, he's already appeared to his disciples twice. And so they decide to go out fishing. So Peter and some of the guys, they go out fishing, and they're out there during the night. They haven't had any luck. And Jesus standing on the shore, you can picture them about 100 yards out. I don't know how deep that was. Doesn't really matter, I guess. But you imagine probably the sun sort of rising, and then Jesus standing on the shore, and he's already got a fire going, and he's got some fish on it. He's got some bread on it. And he looks out, and he sees them. And, of course, you know, it's Jesus, so he knows, right? He knows who they are. And so Jesus says, hey, friends, haven't you any fish? No. I'm just pretending it's like way off, right? I have no idea. And so he said, well, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. So they throw their net on the right side of the boat. And lo and behold, what do? They catch fish. Absolutely. The story says they did. It says they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. And so that happens. And so John, the one Jesus kind of inner circle there, says, it's the Lord. And Peter puts his outer robe back on, garment on, and he jumps out of the boat and apparently knows how to swim, I guess. I don't know. And he's going to shore. Can you imagine me and the guys on the boat? Like, dude, you're leaving us hanging with all this fish. What are you doing? And so he goes to shore, and there's Jesus. And so the rest of them are like, they're dragging the net with the boat coming to shore. And they get there. Then Peter goes back to the boat. Maybe he had a guilt trip. I don't know. If like, I ought to help these guys. They're my friends after all. And they get there, and they see the fire burning coals there, a fish on it, and some bread, like I said. And Jesus is like, dude, bring some of the fish you just caught. Like, come on, bring it over here. And so Peter gets aboard, drags the net ashore, says there's 153 fish, and the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Sounds pretty good, actually. None of the disciples, they would ask him, like, who are you? Well, they knew it was the Lord. This story says they knew it was him. And so Jesus came, he took the bread, he gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. And in that story, it's one you've heard me tell before. But in that story, there's a couple things, Well, maybe one, a couple, but there's a couple that I want to point out to you this morning that are happening in this story that I notice. And one of those is that Jesus sees people that he cares about in need, and he meets that need for them. He sees a human need right in front of him, and he meets that need. How many times do we see people in front of us who have a human need, and we have an opportunity to meet that need? Jesus sees a need, he meets a need. So you need to fill a need, kind of thing, right? Well, when John tells his stories in his gospel, he has a common purpose behind all of them, and that is that he's trying to convince his readers that Jesus really is the Messiah. He really is the divine Son of God, fully man, fully flesh. He's come from the Father here on earth. Like, he really is the one who was prophesied of long ago, who was there at the beginning of creation, is now with them in the flesh, right? This is the guy. This is God, right? He's here with us. So when John tells his stories, he wants them to know, he wants them to believe, oh, light shines. This is Jesus. This is the guy. This is God. He's here. So to tell the story of a miracle is as partly to tell a story of compassion and mercy, but it's also to tell a story to help its reader believe that Jesus really is he's the one. And if I take that into account, it teaches me that this story is Jesus making a provision with a purpose. Making a provision with a purpose. Purpose to bless them? Absolutely. They're hungry, feed them? Absolutely. But faith matters too. Food is important. So is faith. Jesus knows that we need food to feed our belly. But we also need faith. Feed them so they would know him as the Lord. Show mercy with a message. Show mercy with a message. I would say that's not mercy with a hidden agenda. I think there's a difference. Can you see a difference between the two? There's mercy with a hidden agenda. Mercy that really isn't concerned about compassion and being merciful, because I just want to get an opportunity to tell you, repent or burn. But there's also mercy with a mission. Mercy says, I care about you because God cares about you. And the cross of Jesus Christ is the greatest symbol I have in my Christian faith to help me tell you about the kind of compassion that God has for the world. And so when I show you mercy and meet your human need, well, see, it also aligns with the very thing that this cross is teaching us, that we had a spiritual need that we could not meet on our own. But God knew our need. And at just the perfect time, he met that need through Jesus Christ. He knew that the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. He knew that's the way it is. That's the justice of God at work. He's a holy God. He is perfect. He knows that cannot be denied. So with compassion, the cross itself is not a compassionate way. I mean, that's miserable. But the compassion of God says, I see you where you are, and I'm going to meet your need where you are. So when I give a cup of cold water in the name of Jesus, and then they hear me or somebody else talk about the cross of Jesus Christ, they see that when I gave them a cup of cold water because I care about them, they see, oh, there's also a Savior who died to meet my spiritual need because he cares about me. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. That's mercy with a mission. It's compassion. Well, why don't we go to story number two? It's the very next one. In fact, it's one I just shared a few weeks ago with you, but we're going to kind of hit the same story again. So they have breakfast. Look at verse 15. If you're following along, it's in 21, verse 15. When they finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Do you truly? Okay, so he's asking, do you, with your whole being, man, with everything that you have and you are, do you love me? Well, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He's saying, you know, I love you like a brother. I mean, like, we are right here. Like, we are one in one. Like, come on now. Like, yeah, man, we're together. We're connected. I care about you, right? Do you notice there's a difference in the two? Anyhow, Jesus said, feed my lambs. And so again, Jesus said, well, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? And so he answers the same way. He said, well, Lord, you know that I love you. He said, well, take care of my sheep. Well, the third time, Jesus said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? This time he doesn't say the same, do you truly love me, but do you love me? Well, Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, and you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Peter, sort of looking at Jesus like you and I might sort of look at each other, you know, that kind of connection of another person, like, yeah, man, I love you, I care about you, I'm with you, you know, like, yes, I got you, you know, some of that brotherly kind of like, yeah, come on, we're good, let's lock arms, man. And Jesus saying, yeah, but do you love me? Like, do you truly with all that you have, you know, like, I mean, everything, like, you would love Yahweh, God, the Lord, do you love me? And he's just struggling to get it, right? Like, he's coming back a different way, and da-da-da, and then that finally, Jesus is like, well, like, do you really love me like even a brother then? I mean, you remember, like, three times, what had Peter done? Denied him, right? Like, you don't do that to your friends even, you know? Like, come on, like we're in this. Come on, are we going to be in this together? And it's that third time, even when Jesus asked him that, he was like, he says, Lord, you know all things. It's like, I get who you are. Like, you know everything. You are the Lord. Yeah, like, yes, I love. Yes, come on now. Like, yes, we're together. It's okay, well, if we're together, I'm going to tell you what. And then he goes on to tell him what's going to happen to him down the road. It's going to cost you. So do you love me enough to give your life to this mission, to help people know the story? Will you help them experience the compassion that I've shown through the cross, within my life? Will you take the good news of the gospel and will you love people? Will you feed the hungry? Will you give drink to the thirsty? Will you visit the imprisoned? Will you help a stranger? Like, will you do the little things of compassion that reflect the kind of compassion that I have for them and have had for you? And that when you tell the story of the cross, that's exactly the kind of compassion you're going to be telling the world about. Were your actions, Peter, aligned with your words? See, the Apostle Paul said, if all you have are the words, but you don't have the actions behind them, and they don't align together, so you're like a clanging gong cymbal. Like, you just, it's just loud kind of noise. Yeah. They got to go together. You know, I mean, James said that faith without works is dead. Like, these things, they got to work together. That true love has an active part of it. Because the heart's been transformed by the Spirit of God, and the Spirit moves us to love others. Jesus, he says, you know what? When you love that way, people are going to know that you're my disciples by the way you love one another. In fact, in John 13, he says, that's the command I'm giving you. Like, a new command I give you, love one another. By this, the whole world will know that you're my disciples, comma, if you love one another. So go and be a people that have a that give a provision with a purpose. Give mercy with a mission. Go bless the people around you. For you have been blessed. As I have fed you, go feed others. As I am the bread of life for you, go help somebody else know that I can be the bread of life for them. It's really that simple. That's really the heartbeat of it. Help the world know who I am. You were wondering about that fish story, weren't you? It's followed you all morning, I know it. But why did he tell that? Because I thought maybe that lead fish that kept directing where they were going, right? Up and down the tank. I thought, well, maybe that lead fish could be us. Well, maybe. What if I could say, Ariana, you be that lead fish. And when people are down at the bottom, point them up to Jesus and encourage them to trust and follow Jesus. And when real high, encourage them to believe that when life's really down the bottom, he can lead them up. Be someone that others trust and follow. Not because you're so good, but because when they watch your life and they listen to you, they see the kind of life that aligns with the Son of God who died on the cross and was resurrected from the grave. They see compassion with a purpose. They see mercy with a mission. They see in you the very thing they hear some crazy old preacher talk about on a Sunday morning or on social media, right, about the power of the cross. And like, ooh, that all lines together. That's the goal. So for VBS, we thought one of the maybe the easy ways that we could work with kids to do what I'm talking about is to have a food drive. And so we've already got it started here today. And if you would just throw up on this screen here this morning, here is what we're going to be doing. That, yeah, you can take a picture of that or however. It's on our Connect page this morning. So if you get that, then you have access to that this already. But you can see, so what we're doing is on Monday, we're going to encourage in advance, right? We'll let folks know in advance, oatmeal and jelly. And then Tuesday, you can see it, spaghetti and noodles and sauce. And then Wednesday, we're going to do applesauce and canned chicken. And then Thursday, canned tuna and rice. So these are all items that at Hope Central, they are in need of to give to local residents, to get residents who are coming and participating there and receiving food at Hope Central. So we want to bless them with what they need, right? So this is what we're asking, is that kids that are coming would bring this. And then also, you say, well, I don't have kids, but I want to participate in that because that's really cool. And can do what you talked about today. And so this is fantastic. So what we'd ask that you do is either sometime during the week, either during the day, during VBS, or it could be most time, anytime during the day, I suppose. But maybe Sunday morning, next Sunday morning, you can bring that with you, and we're going to have it stacked up, and we're going to keep adding to it. I'm not sure if it'll be right there when it's all said and done, but we're going to add to that, and then we're going to pray a blessing over that, and then we're going to get this delivered to Hope Central, that the Lord will bless it, and that people will be blessed, right? So we know we have been blessed. We want to go. We want to be a blessing, and this would be a simple way. So we encourage you to participate in that. It'll be lots of fun. We'll see what the Lord does through that.